Well, it was a sunny spring day when I got the call that my grandmother, who lived in Kansas, had died. I was at college preparing for my final exams when the news came, so I began to rush around campus talking with my professors and begging them to reschedule my exams so I could attend her funeral. After getting almost everything worked out, I had one last professor to speak with, and I was nervous about how that conversation might go. While Dr. Orm was the university's top researcher and a force to be reckoned with, he was also a very sweet and humble guy. His immunology class had been my favorite that semester, and I had learned a lot. So what made me nervous was not him, but the fact that the exam was the entirety of our grade. No midterm, no projects or papers, not even a pop quiz. The entire grade rested on this one exam. So I was terrified that he might not let me reschedule. To my surprise, he was overly gracious and had no issue with me postponing. I was so relieved until I called my study partner, Sarah, to tell her. After expressing her condolences, she said, "Well, this is actually good news, because now I can go take the test and tell you what's on it." I was stunned, and my brain wasn't thinking clearly, so I muttered something along the lines of, "Okay, thanks," and then hung up quickly. I was mortified that she would consider helping me cheat, and I was much less self-assured at that point in life, so I didn't know what to do. I certainly didn't want to get the answers from the test, but I also didn't want to hurt my friendship with her. So I felt stuck between a rock and a hard place. So I prayed. I prayed the entire week that I was at the funeral that God would help me find a way out of this awkward situation. I returned to campus a few days after the funeral and knew I could put it off no longer. So I called Sarah, hoping that she had forgotten all about her offer to give me the test questions. After a few minutes of chit-chat, the conversation inevitably turned to the exam. "You're never going to believe this," she said, "but I'm taking the test with you tomorrow." There was a pause on the phone. "Yeah, I got a really weird 24-hour stomach bug the day of the test, so I had to reschedule my exam, too." Did God curse her with a stomach bug? Or was it just a happy coincidence? Either way, I had never been more relieved and astonished and thankful and also a bit guilty for her 24 hours of misery. As silly as it was, God had answered my prayers and helped me carry the burden of my anxiety. Well, Jesus was no stranger to these kinds of hard situations. He was always being placed between a rock and a hard place. And this section of Matthew's gospel reminds us of one of those times. Today's reading comes just after Jesus has finished instructing his disciples about the life they have been called to. If you recall, a few weeks ago we read the passage where Jesus tells his disciples that he came not to bring peace but a sword, and that no one would be worthy of him unless they picked up their cross, and that those who love their life must lose it for his sake. All words that are quite different from "my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then at the beginning of chapter 11, just before our reading picks up today, an imprisoned John the Baptist hears about what Jesus is doing and sends word, asking if Jesus is really the Messiah. Jesus then sends messengers to tell John all that he's been up to, that the blind are receiving their sight, the lepers are being cleansed, and the dead are being raised. Evidence that Jesus truly is the Messiah. And then we come to our passage today, where Jesus begins by saying, "But to what will I compare this generation?" It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" Jesus is between a rock and a hard place, caught up in one of those universal experiences of our lives. Sometimes you're darned if you do, and darned if you don't. When John comes proclaiming the coming of Christ, no one is happy because he is weird and eats bugs and lives out in the wilderness, and his message is wild and untamed. And then Jesus comes, and he's the exact opposite of John. He likes to eat and drink. He likes to do normal things with normal people and enjoy life. But people still don't like him. They think he's full of it and hangs around with the wrong people and is living outside the bounds of church law. It's a no-win situation. Here, Jesus points out the fact that people will not be happy either way. When called to dance, they will scowl and judge. When called to mourn, they will be apathetic and walk away. Jesus knows that we're a fickle people, never really sure what we want. And as the Apostle Paul reminds us, too, we often do what we don't want to do, and we can't seem to do what we know is right and good. Instead of dancing with those playing a happy song, we ridicule and judge. Instead of mourning with those who weep, we tell them to buck up and be happy. We put others into lose-lose situations just so that we can be on the winning side. Jesus recognizes this human tendency and knows that he will constantly be stuck in this place. The people say they want a Messiah, and yet when he comes, they don't like his style. And so Jesus does what we all do when we're stuck in that place. He prays. He prays for this generation, for those who just don't get it. He prays for the wise and the powerful, the ones who sit in judgment over others. He prays for those who are so fickle that they're never able to be happy. And he prays for us, a people so caught up in seeking wisdom and proving our point that we often miss out on the Messiah in our midst. And in the words of his prayer, he reveals something pretty amazing. Not only does he give us a glimpse of what his relationship with God looks like, he also reminds us that this relationship, this connection with God, is not something that he wants to hoard. Instead, it's a gift that he wants to share with anyone who is willing to listen. But as we all know, not everyone is willing to listen. This is why he says that God has hidden these things from the wise, but revealed them to infants. Jesus has hidden the one thing that the wise seek and given it freely to those who cannot seek at all. Not because Jesus doesn't want the wise around, but because he knows the wise cannot see outside of their own boxes. They cannot get outside their own wisdom to experience a relationship with him. The wise are self-reliant. They can get what they need when they need it. They are adept at maneuvering in life and society, and they can always use their power and wealth to increase their understanding. They don't need a relationship with Jesus. Infants, on the other hand, have no capability whatsoever to care for themselves. They are totally reliant on those caring for them. They are trusting and open to being loved. Jesus reminds us that in order to have that same full relationship with him that he has with God, we too must be totally reliant and open to his love. But Jesus doesn't write off the wise either. He still invites them into the fold, because the very next thing he says is, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now this is the gospel we can get on board with. This is the good news that we want to hear. We are exhausted from the burdens that we carry. We are tired by the things we have yoked ourselves with. We're tired of going our own way and striving for wisdom and maneuvering ourselves throughout this life. An easy burden and a light yoke are exactly what we're in the market for. But we are misunderstanding Christ's words here if we see them merely as a promise of an easy life. because as we have read elsewhere, the life of discipleship is not easy. Laying down our lives is costly. Spending our energy and time and money following Jesus absolutely requires sacrifice. So to say that Christ's yoke is easy and his burden is light is true, but it's still a yoke, and it's still a burden. No matter how you slice it, sacrifice and work are still required. And yet the invitation to an easy yoke and a light burden is still quite the promise. Because while the life of a disciple is challenging, the work is worthy and worthwhile and will make us feel at ease. It's the kind of work that will make us feel like we are making a difference in building God's kingdom and doing something for the good of the world. Taking on Christ's yoke doesn't mean that we won't ever find ourselves between a rock and a hard place. But it is a promise that when we are yoked with him, he will be our partner in pulling the weight. The yoke of Christ holds us together in relationship with him as we walk side by side. Artist Jan Richardson asks the question, how might it be to imagine this as the kind of yoke that Jesus was talking about? A yoke that we don't have to pull alone. A yoke that he wears with us. A yoke not for servitude, not for bondage, but a tool of connection. A way of being in relationship with Christ that makes our work easier, not more difficult. Without Christ, we are stuck striving and trying to maneuver our way through life, getting ourselves in and out of difficult situations. That's the burdensome yoke and the heavy weight. But being yoked with Christ, we are able to lay that heavy burden down in favor of a lighter one. Being yoked to Christ is about adapting to a new way of life. It's about being connected to Jesus and being so in sync with him that we walk together in mercy. When we choose to take on the yoke of Christ, we allow Jesus to make the way for us, making it easier, not harder. So our question for ourselves this morning is, what are we attaching ourselves to? Are we connected to Christ, or have we yoked ourselves with something of this world? What's getting in the way of us yoking ourselves to Christ? What is that heavy burden that you are carrying that Christ invites you to lay down? Friends, we're always going to find ourselves in challenging situations where we feel stuck, where we're not sure what to do, where we see no way out. But Christ's invitation to us this morning is to be connected to him so that in those times we know we aren't going at it alone. So when we find ourselves in between a rock and a hard place, trying to make our own way, let us instead embrace the yoke of Christ, trusting his love to lighten the load. For his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Thanks be to God. Amen.